Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. A tragedy took place last night at Quantico, Virginia, just south of Washington, D.C., reported by CBS News that a Marine, they're all in officer candidate school. I think they work for, reportedly they work for the OCS, officer candidate school there, that one Marine shot two, murdered two Marines, and then went and barricaded himself in the premises, and around 2:30 Central Time, Eastern Time, as they go check on, they find out that he even turned the gun on himself. Mm. These tragedies, you know, it just makes me think of Fort Hood. It makes me think about the fellow officer that turned his gun on many fellow military brothers and sisters and murdered them and wounded them. And he's on trial right now. And what happened? There's the brotherly, the band of brothers, the common bond. The use of the unbreakable, what happened to the unbreakable force of the armed forces that we fight together, we live together. That's the whole, that's how it works.
Yeah.
And it's like a spirit of division and discord and distrust. And let me tell you, the embracing of all these different religions, these false gods by the military, these world religions, and just setting aside or diluting the gospel, you know, Judeo-Christian values that the country was founded on, this is what we get. This is what we get. This is tragedy. This is tragedy when, you know, this is the guy you're going to, you got to understand, you're in the military, he's like, this is the guy that's by you. This is the one you're going to go take a land with. This is one you're going to go take the hill with. This is the one that you,
are in the foxhole with.
You're in the foxhole with, that you're eating with, that you're sleeping with. And even if you have differences, you know you got to fight together so you work them out. Because your life's going to depend on his, and his life's going to depend on hers or his, you know, military. And all of a sudden, I mean, this nothing, that's a unique bond that you know, 20 years down the road, 40 years down the road, and you start seeing things like VFW and these different things. These are guys that just, they're so connected, they had to find something to connect with.
Yeah.
Because it's such a, and like today, it's like everybody, it just seems like a spirit of sand. You know, when friends of mine describe who are missionaries in China, they describe China, the unity is like sand there. Mm. Nothing sticks together. There's so much distrust. And so much things have been sown into our culture and into our military, because they're using our military as a prototype for what they want to be able to push into society. And they're, remember, they actually began to open up in all these different ways in the military and say, hey, let's just do it in the military. That's ours. We can do anything we want to. Yeah. And kind of, you know, comparing it to other things. And now, I mean, look what happened. You open the doors to all these different religions, and now somebody is shooting our fellow soldiers because of their religion. Because of their religion. This, was he a commander or in Fort Hood?
He was, oh, he was high up.
Major. I don't know the exact title,
but he was ranked here.
Because we embraced his religion, you know, and just brought them in to put them by somebody else who didn't embrace his religion, and with, with a country who openly didn't embrace what his particular religion was doing, people in his religion, that it cost them their lives.
That's right.
I mean, you can't put the North Pole and South Pole together and expect them to accomplish something. You can't mix light with darkness and think that it's not going to, you know, they're going to defeat, you know, it's just not going to work. And when you start seeing the ultimate experience of training together and fighting together, that doesn't even work. That doesn't even work. I mean, you know, and when I was in law enforcement, there was something about, I think about, you know, Raynard Robinson and myself. He's an officer, I believe, a lieutenant at Sheriff's Department. He and I used to work together. And real good man, Christian man, and there was a night that we were working together, so we had a decent relationship. But there was a night that we went through where we came up on an armed robbery, a burglary, and we didn't know the house was second time it supposedly been robbed. So normally people panic and call the second time. And you know, Raynard covered the front, and I covered the back of the house. And all of a sudden, there was somebody in it. We found out. And, you know, early morning hours, you know, in the morning, like two in the morning or something. And they come barreling out. They come trying to get out the front door, and they saw Reynard, so they came back in. Then they tried breaking out the side window, but they couldn't get out the side window. Then they saw me in the back, and so they just ran as fast as they could out the front door and threw open those old wooden screen doors and Reynard, and shot right at Reynard.
Wow.
And it was a .22, so it went ting. And then Reynard pulled out his, had his .357 out, and it went and so the guy with a .22 just throws his .22 up in there. It just scared him so bad. I mean, you feel like you gotta be shot when you hear this. Of course, Reynard was. Anyway, so it went all the way up and it landed somewhere, and of course we were chasing our guys down. I got mine. He didn't get his. And but the thing is that just it tied us even deeper together, because that was the night that could have cost our lives.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We were the only two that experienced that. It was a unique experience that nobody can duplicate, that particular experience.
Nope.
And immediately, you know, things were happening, and we had to stand together and just say, you know, hold on, we got to catch our breath. We just got shot at, you know. Give us a moment to catch our breath here. And I just felt like at that moment, you know, because if Reynard was alone, that might have been Reynard's last night. Or if I was alone, that could have been my last night.
Yeah.
But we were together, and it's just God, you know, that kept us. And but those moments, you see what I'm saying? And it's like, I don't shoot Reynard. Reynard doesn't shoot me. You know, mm-hmm. We're together.
That's right.
You know, we the police, you know what I'm saying? And if you're a soldier, you're the soldier, you're the Marines. You know, you're if you're officer candidate school, you're training the leaders of our military, and you're shooting each other.
Mm.
Or you're not shooting. Yeah, you shot one of your fellow officers.
Mm.
This is a bad spirit. This is a bad, you understand? When you talk about spirit, you're talking about mindset, the way you're thinking. Why are you thinking that way? What happened to you that would cause you to be willing to pull out a gun and shoot the very man that would fight by your side?
Mm.
You know, what happened in Fort Hood that you know, what are you doing here? You know, you're not a band of brothers with us. You're against us. If you can shoot us, you're not for us. I don't care how you put it and how you wrap it. If you can shoot us, you're not for us. And anything divided will fall. And I just want to just say that our prayers go out to the families that lost their fathers, their brothers, their sisters in Quantico. This is the reason why we do what we do on VFN Radio, because we believe that if God's people, if we'll just say, God, we're sorry, we've sinned, we've fallen short, we've gone the wrong way, we left your ways, we quit reading your word, we quit doing what it said, God, forgive us. And we just kind of go back in by God's grace and begin to repent and humble ourselves and pray and seek the Lord, then this would not have happened, or at least won't happen again in the future if we do that. And the church has got to say, listen, we're sorry for our rebellion that has allowed such discord and such tragedy, you know, and now it happens again. John?
Well, you know, it reminds me, too, of, you know, sad but true, but it reminds me how the church sometimes shoots its own wounded.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to be sticking together. We're supposed to be on the same side.
Right.
And there's nothing worse to see than a fellow believer to attack another believer. And it's like, we're brothers, we're sisters in the Lord, and that's not what God would want us to do. In fact, the Word of God tells us, you know, gives even instruction. Don't even go to court with a believer. You know, settle this thing out and talk with each other and bring other folks into that conversation. And it just reminds me that, you know, as the church, we need to not do that ourselves. We need to hold each other up and pray for one another and get counsel and wisdom before we allow our mouths to, you know, attack somebody else.
Right.
You know, words are powerful.
Right.
Words are powerful, and people get offended, they get hurt, and then you have divisions, you have splits, you have all sorts of stuff that's happening, all because someone felt so comfortable. Sure, they didn't pull out a physical gun, but they loaded a revolver in their mouth and spewed out all these words that just shredded people apart.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus tells us that if you even call your brother a fool, you're in danger of judgment. But, you know, John writes that in the book of John, I think it's 1 John, that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer.
Right.
Think about it. You're in danger of judgment. Think about that. If you hate your brother, yeah. Somebody says, I don't hate. Check out the definition. Be really surprised. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't use the word, but I definitely live out the definition of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's like, remember, whatever we do to the least of these of his,
that's right.
You know, we do. You're right. That's a real good analogy to help us really understand. As shocking as what we just heard at Quantico and what we've seen at Fort Hood,
yeah,
and some other areas, that we've seen the very same thing with words and with you know, it's just totally amazing. It's the reason why people argue is because they don't get what they want. And,
yeah,
it's hard to, it's really amazing. And I guess naive is definitely the theme, that people are jealous about things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, it's like Jesus is going to the sons of thunder, his mama.
Yeah.
He's like, you really want these seats that you're jealous over who's going to be sitting on the side of me? You think that's what he's really saying? We want that. Oh, my, somebody else might get it. I want to get it. It's like, really? He's like, you think you could drink this cup?
Exactly.
And it's like, do you want, somebody says, well, I want to be an evangelist like Steve Hill. Do you really? Do you really? Do you understand the cup that he has drunk and he is drinking today?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Do you think, oh, I want to be like, you know, Mariah Etter? Well, why? Because she lost six of her children because she hesitated in a response to the call of God on her life, and her husband's out committing adultery when she's having a ministry meeting in California and it's hitting the front page. Is that why?
Mm.
Maybe what? Maybe that's it. Mm. Oh, you know, I just want to be like, and you can just name them all day long. And it's like, no, listen, we got to understand that jealousy, people are in jail today, physically and spiritually, because it's the jail of jealousy.
Mm.
And jealousy, with that comes murder.
Mm-hmm.
Murder comes when people are jealous. For example, if you're working a convenience store, and this person, for some reason, wants the money behind the cash register. They're jealous. There's some reason they're just focused in. There's got to be money in that, and I want it. They're jealous of the money that person got for working and building that store and selling products and giving their life to it, and they just want it. They're just jealous of it. Instead of, hey, go build your store, sell you some products, you know, and get you the $20 you're going to get out of this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they rob or sometimes murder people,
mm-hmm,
just to get, open up the cash register, take out a few dollars, because if that's jealous, they wanted that wasn't theirs. And we can't be naive. You know, a spirit of jealousy gets on so many people, and you might wonder why people just freak out about you. And because, you know, nobody can even, well, some people could say, I know why people are jealous of me. Those are the prideful ones that you don't have to worry about. But most people say, why would you be, do you want to drink this cup? Do you want to switch them?
Yeah.
Do you want to switch roles? And, but you can't be naive and think that it's not there. There's people that just get jealous. They feel really insecure. The devil takes advantage of that, begins to feed things in their life, begins to cause them to think that, brown grass is green. It's amazing how green brown grass looks from a distance. You know, you think about, you know, Gideon, when way the perception of the others that he was called to respond to, their perception was, man, I just wish I had what Gideon had. You know what? He lost thousands of people. And he was left with 300, you know, and a clay jar, a torch, and a horn. It's like, yeah. Well, you had the opportunity to be in the army, remember?
That's all right.
You ran. Right. And so, my goodness. So we got to really watch, when you talk about the church, jealousy. You got to watch the spirit of jealousy. Think about this. Think about being behind jail bars. It's the jail of jealousy, envy. I want what they have. Some people say, I deserve what they have.
That's scary.
The spirit in the land is, I deserve this. I need this CEO's money. I need this transfer of wealth. That thing. They're like, you know, they're just jealous of it. Mm-hmm. They're singing songs like, I want to be a millionaire. They're singing songs like, I want money. They're singing songs like, I want a big car and a big house. And it's like, well, if you don't have one, where are you seeing all this stuff? And if you're seeing it, then that means you're actually envying what they have. So really, that's all a spirit of jealousy. It's a murdering spirit. It's a murder. Okay. You might people might not murder by the deed, but by the tongue.
Mm.
And they talk down to about you or down about some particular successful businesswoman or businessman or ministry. And the thing is what happened is, why would you even give them the time of day with your words? It's because they're jealous of that businessman, that businesswoman's success, or you know what God is doing with a particular minister in the world. And it's sad but true. You know, it just happens. I quit denying those realities because I had to live. Right. Okay, I know you're beating me right now, but we got to work through this. You know,
right.
Why can't we just all get along? Because I'm jealous. You know? Why? And so what happened? We don't know what happened, but I know with a spirit of murder, yes, jealousy's there quite often. And with all the things we're mixing together in our military, treating it like a mixing pot, like they're not our brothers and sisters going just to serve the country. And now all of a sudden they ended up to be in some scientific experiment and say, we're going to inject this whatever into your life, and we're going to watch you for a while and see how you respond. Maybe you may break out from it. Maybe you may die from it. Maybe you may, you know, it's like we're just, and all you did was just volunteer to go serve your country.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm some national experiment. Yeah. To see if I'll live through this or not.
Yeah.
And so you can see where, okay, our study says they're killing each other. Right? That was what you said. If your prognosis is this and your hypothesis was that, but now your prognosis is going like, hey, now we see. You know, our hypothesis is not true. They're going to kill each other. When you put opposites in to fight a war together and you put all these things and make it a cultural experiment, they suffer because of it. They're killing each other. And you know, if you're going to fight a war with people you don't trust, you're not going to win the war.
Right.
You're not going to win the war thinking at one moment there's a man behind the console that has a top secret clearance that's going to sell all the secrets to Wikipedia or WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
You're just going to, any moment you're thinking this is going to be out. You know, it's just going to be out. And so you don't trust. You don't do those risky things it requires to be able to succeed in war, you know.
Yeah.
And because you think
I'm not going to storm this hill.
That's right, because you're not going to have my back. You're going to call for support or air support or something like that, and somebody's going to say, "Well, you know, I just don't really think you should take the hill." So I don't know if I'm going to let them know that you should send some air support. Think about that.
Yeah, shaky.
Oh yeah,
easily defeated. They're defeated before they even take the ground.
Right, right. And you know, we should be, especially the church, we should be able to, one of us to be blindfolded, and trust our brother to take us by the arm and lead us around. That's how close we should be.
Yeah.
That's how close we should be. And that's what tells people that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ by our love for each other. He says, listen, a new commandment I give to you. Love each other. By this, they will know that you're my disciple if you love each other.
Mm.
And that's our identification. You know, we're the band of brothers and sisters. We're that family band.
Mm-hmm.
And the world's not going to know how it works unless the church begins to walk it out. You know, and the family of God, he says, you know, Jesus said this when he was in a house and he was ministering to his disciples. And he said that your mother and your brother's outside.
Hmm.
And they thought he actually had went crazy. They thought Jesus had went crazy. They thought he lost his mind. They thought he was making bad diet decisions. He was making bad diet decisions because he wasn't eating.
Right.
And so they were going to come down there and say, listen, you're really pushing yourself a little too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And we've noticed this in your personality. You need to come on home. You know, and mom was like, Jesus can't play right now.
Right.
He's got to come home. He's got to come home. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. And he didn't go to the door.
Nope. Didn't get up.
He didn't even say Hail Mary full of grace.
No, he didn't.
Nope.
He looked down at his disciples because he's teaching them. He says, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And of course, people today, we go, isn't those two folks standing outside?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sit down, please. This is a rhetorical question. Right? Because the church today thinks so naturally. It's just like, don't you understand that we're spirits that have bodies, that possess a soul, that God is a spirit? But Jesus took on the form of man forever for us so he can identify with us. Mm. But we're spirits to have bodies. We're never talking about the natural. The flesh counts for nothing.
Yeah.
For nothing. And then he looks at his disciples there and he says, who is my family? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Another one steps up and says, oh, the one that went to the altar and said a prayer, right? The one that said, I believe that Jesus exists. I believe that he's the Son of God. And I just want to reward him by giving myself to him. Right? And Jesus said, rhetorical, sit back down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He said, let me tell you, realize this is God talking to you. You're in a house, the things that you dwell in. I've come down here as you're sitting around this floor, listening to me because I'm saying nothing unless my Father tells me to say. So listen, the creator of the universe is using me as conduit to you right now. And he's leaving Mary and his brother outside. And he's trying to let you know he wants you in the family, but you got to understand what does it mean to be a family member.
Mm.
So many people go, yeah, I know so-and-so. Yeah, we're really close. And you go talk to the person's like, who, what, what? And you go, oh, you were just friend of them on Facebook. You don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And anyway, so Jesus says, let me tell you who the family is. And that's what he came for. Jesus came for the family. He came for family. He came for a bride to live together with us forever, to wash us, to cleanse us, to remove all the stains in our life and all the whatever. He's just madly in love with us, but we have to understand he's the one that came for us, and he wants us in his family. It's not us asking Jesus in our family. We're getting in his family.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. God wants you in his family. He's about to say right now, at this one moment in time while Mary is still outside ringing the proverbial doorbell and the door not being answered, he's about to tell us who's in the family of God. Can you imagine? If there's a pause there, they would be going like, I wonder who's in his family. I wonder maybe there's other ones that's in his family. Because they're not thinking, you know, how could I be in the family of God?
Right? Crowning moment.
It's a very crowning moment. It is a crowning moment. And it's just, and we need to focus. You need to let everything, all the universe is tilting on these words here. Because if you think it's about religion, you've missed it. You might as well join the other radical religious wackos out there that are thinking it's something other than a family.
Mm.
And he said, let me tell you, who's the family of God? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Jesus is going, my mother, Son of God. Let me tell you who my mother is. That's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we are joint heirs with Jesus. We're heirs of God. We're in the family of God as a believer.
That's right.
And so we're brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and all that kind of stuff. And he says, let me tell you who my mother and brother, let me tell you who the family of God is. Those who do the will of my Father in heaven.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Who your daddy is, right? We heard that statement 1,000 times. I've heard it 1,000. Mm. Who your daddy is? You know why they say that? Because they don't know who their daddy is. That's right. The big thing, because like nobody, the daddy's not around.
That's right.
So who your daddy is? And in the church, we need to start saying, who your daddy is? Who's your dad? Jesus said to the Pharisees, yeah, you, I know who your daddy is.
Mm-hmm.
Your daddy is the one that is a liar.
Mm.
And he's always been a liar. Not only is he your father, he's the father of lies itself. Satan, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Religious folks had a father. When he said who your daddy is, he already knew who it was. Because if you were actually listening, if you really were part of the family, if you were listening to my father, then you would know who I am. And the very fact that you don't even know who I am, and you're trying to tell me how it's supposed to be, I mean, think about it. It's like, hey, yeah, I know who your daddy is. I know who your daddy is. God, the creator of the universe, if you make a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you come into the family of God to say, you know, I want to be in the family of God. So I know I need to become his disciple. I need to do what he says. I need to find out how do I obey God? What do I do? What do I do? And it's called being discipled. It's called being transformed. It's renewing the way you think and thinking like the new way they called it in the beginning, the new way of life.
Mm.
Connected by love, not by organization. And join the family of God. That's an amazing thing. And look how the enemy is beginning just to divide and divide and divide and divide. And religion divides. Jealousy divides. Envy divides. Greed divides. Selfishness divides. Idolatry divides. But true lovers of Christ, imitators of Christ, lay down their lives for their brothers. They lay down their fortunes for their brothers. They lay down everything for their Lord and say, just like Jesus said to the Father, this is what I'm thinking, but the only thing that's going to bring me pleasure is doing your will. So nevertheless, since I'm in the family and those who are in the family are the ones that do your will, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Listen, if you want to join the family of God, today could be your day. You may have already joined religion. You may be very religious. The Pharisees had to memorize the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the whole whatever was there, the Psalms and all, to be able to be a Pharisee by the time they were 40. So they knew the Bible. And there's nothing, I mean, I just want to be honest with you, there's nothing more meaner than somebody who knows the Bible but don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
That's dangerous.
You know what I'm saying? If you went one more verse upside my head.
Yeah.
You know, but they didn't know Jesus. They looked at Jesus square in his face while all the scripture was inside of them and didn't realize that he was the living scriptures. He was the living word of God. And they called Jesus Satan.
That alone.
Right. It was wild. What was also interesting, though, Jesus said, you know, do what they tell you. Do what they tell you, but don't do what they do. In other words, he didn't throw out his own scriptures because they were throwing scriptures out, but they weren't following them. So you have to understand that the word of God is so powerful that even when somebody uses it with the wrong motives, you can't throw out the word of God. You got to be in the family of God. You got to grab that and say, I'm going to follow that. I'm going to follow what, even though you're not following it or it's twisted or, you know, your motives are wrong or whatever's going on. I can't just throw out the word because even Jesus said to the people who he said, your dad is Satan. He said, do what they say, but don't do what they do. It will confound them. It's like, wow. I remember the movie in the book Left Behind. You remember the preacher?
Thinking the same thing.
Yeah, and he was in the movie scene. Maybe we can grab this scene and we can play it. I mean, extra hour. I'm hoping we're going to get to the president's speech in the extra hour for what he said in Israel. I think it was some powerful moments in it. But the rapture came in this book he's writing about, Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye, I guess. And the only one left in that particular church building was the one who was preaching the word and maybe one other person or something.
Yeah.
And he fell down to his knees and he said, they believed it. They believed it, which is Matthew chapter 7, right? You know, many people do these, and some people get so confused with it because they say, well, you know, they're so, what you would define as religious. They preach, they tell people about God, they know more of the word that just confounds me. Mm-hmm. And they're great orators, you know, in regards to how they're delivering it. But you know what? If they don't know Jesus, if they hadn't made Jesus the Lord of their life, they will be left behind. Totally left behind. That's something. You were thinking the same thing. You remember how you go falls down?
Yeah. Yeah, which goes to show you how powerful the preach the word is and the, you know, God's word is. That, you know what? People will receive it. It'll change their life. But if you're the one that's sharing it, and so you can't look at religion. You can't look at on the outward. God doesn't even look at the outward. He only looks at the heart.
Right. And you think about so many people defined who they are based on other people's response to the gospel they shared. You know? Not realizing you could have had, you know, it's like Sons of Stephen. It worked a while for them, right?
A while. That's right.
And,
Acts 19.
Yeah. And the next thing you know, they were just, they were confronted.
No doubt.
The biggest confrontation is going to take place at the throne of God, the judgment seat of God. And let me tell you something. Think about this. The enemy's beat the whole concept of family up. But when we walk in family, when we you have problems in family and things happen, but the fact that you love each other and you love God and the plumb line for your lives of the family of God is the Word of God. So it's not anybody's agenda. It's God's agenda.
That's
and
right.
His plans are good for us. He's got mercy and grace and forgiveness. And he's amongst you when you're walking as family. You're walking in love. The Holy Spirit's there. Signs, wonders, miracles, all the things. It's like your typical everyday life for a believer. And it's an amazing thing.
We can get through this. We can get through this, right? We can get through this. We have Jesus and we have the Word. We can get through this.
That's exactly it. So if you we shared a couple of our testimonies about how we met God, our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. Read them. Maybe that can help you out. Welcome to the family of Today's Your Day and let us know. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.